Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special live stream edition of the Timmy Did What podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Fisher. We wanted to get some information out to you as soon as possible because some breaking news is happening on two fronts with the whole Tim Ballard saga. So I'm going to get right into it. First off, this press release was just issued today, and this is for immediate release from the lawyers that have that represent the women in the lawsuit. October 29th, 2024, survivors of Tim Ballard and Operation Underground Railroad respond to OUR's move to Minneapolis. You can run, but you can't hide. The seven women who have come forward as survivors of Tim Ballard's sexual assault and trafficking within Operation Underground Railroad are speaking out in response to OUR's recent announcement to move its operations to Minneapolis, along with its new branding as OUR Rescue. This rebranding and relocation come at a time when, after nearly a decade in Utah, the organization faces deep scrutiny and is likely the result of the upcoming installation of a new Utah Attorney General. Survivors believe this decision to get out of Utah is a clear attempt by OUR to evade accountability for systemic corruption and abuse. With the election going on, Sean Reyes has been the Attorney General over the last couple of years for Utah. Sean Reyes is closely associated with Tim. He's been on operations. They have been palling around together for some time. Sean Reyes also was the lead Utah law enforcement officer for Utah when the FBI investigation was going on. He was privy to that investigation, and there is speculation that he played a role in getting that investigation, in hampering that investigation in some way. It's just speculation. I can't prove any of that, but it's been widely speculated by a lot of circles and a lot of people that he was in a position of power and use that power to corrupt the investigation or silence it or intimidate witnesses, things along that those lines. Those are just allegations. Those are just rumors. So don't hold me to those. However, the fact that OUR has not been held accountable by the Utah Attorney General during his tenure and with his close associations with Tim Ballard and OUR from the beginning, even going so far as the Tim and Sean writing a movie script together about themselves. I mean, it's pretty wild stuff. Those allegations coming forward had killed his reelection campaign. And so he agreed to not seek reelection as Utah Attorney General. As you know, elections are going on this month or next month. And the contenders for the Utah Attorney General don't include Sean Reyes. What it looks like is OUR is leaving town because the new Attorney General is going to be put in place. And I'm sure they are going to fear prosecution from an investigation from the new Utah Attorney General, which is not going to be a pal of Tim Ballard. As far as I'm aware, they're not friends, close associates, and I don't think Tim has any dirt on them that I've seen. So that is very, very, very interesting development. Apparently, OUR has just announced that they're moving to Minneapolis, getting out of Utah altogether. So that's what the reference here is. Over the years, OUR has raised over hundreds of millions of dollars from Utah citizens who believe they were contributing to legitimate anti-trafficking work. Instead, that money has largely gone to cover up deeply troubling operations in countries like Haiti, where allegations of forced rape and abortions of 13-year-old girls funded by OUR have surfaced. Wow, this is a bombshell. I've known about this for some time, haven't been able to talk about it. I did not expect this. I didn't know that the attorneys were going to announce this in this lawsuit. I'm not going to talk about this, but buckle your seats. This is going to be a wild ride. This gets really serious and really dark really fast. That just gives you a preview of some of the things that have happened behind the scenes under OUR's watch that is coming down the pipeline. So going to hold comment on that. But stay tuned. This gets really dark and really sinister, and it's going to anger a lot of people, especially those that donated to OUR, once these allegations are put out there. So, Yeah, that's a bombshell by itself. Additionally, OUR's operations have included staging events where adolescent students are paid to attend a party and then presented as rescued sex slaves, misleading donors while endangering these youth. In Utah, women have been assaulted and trafficked under the guise of OUR's fabricated couples ruse, creating widespread harm to women and children. Adding to this pattern of abuse, survivors allege that OUR has laundered money through the MS Williams account, a Wyoming LLC, funneling donations into cash to fund encounters with high-end commercial sex workers in foreign countries and the United States using practice ruses, whereby Ballard would purchase professional sex workers for his own pleasure. By using this account, OUR leadership has hidden these actions, which not only exploit these funds, but also go directly against the mission of protection and support for the vulnerable. Instead, OUR's leadership has engaged in the very behavior they claim to combat, creating a facade of virtue while indulging in harmful exploitative practices. We are glad to see OUR leave Utah. OUR's brand of deception and harm has no place here or anywhere, the survivor's attorney said. Their move and rebranding are simply ways to hide from the truth that will soon catch up with them. The people of Utah deserve better than an organization that covers up rapes, abortions, kidnappings, and child endangerment, all while raking in millions in donations, claiming blessing from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. With a new Utah Attorney General in office, the threat of OUR being investigated or taken over by the state of Utah is very real, and this move to Minneapolis seems like an obvious escape tactic. Minnesota now faces dubious addition to its legacy of inherited Utah rejects from Seth Jeffs of the fundamentalist version of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and now OUR Rescue, which was likewise started by funding from the church. As a move, the survivors hope will be met with heightened level of skepticism and accountability from Minnesota's citizens and leaders. Wow, this is bombshell stuff. Yeah, I had to get this out right away because there's a lot to unpack there. Very, very, very serious allegations. Yeah, this is crazy news. I'm stunned. A lot of people are stunned. This is like the worst of the worst. It's the worst of the worst allegations. This is a huge turning point because what they're identifying is so many crimes. And we've talked about the crimes before. There's been a lot of allegations made about the crimes. Not all of these. Some of these are new. The Haiti stuff about cover up of sexual assault and forced abortions. That is new. That has not been discussed in the public, but I am aware of several journalists that are looking into this, and this story is going to be breaking nationwide probably very soon. This is a very, very, very serious story, very serious allegations. Some of the other allegations in here, rapes, abortions, kidnappings, and child endangerment. There's so much more to this story. You know, everybody's been focusing on the sexual assault allegations, and rightfully so. Those are horrendous, and those deserve to be talked about and discussed and given their due process. But there's so much more around OUR's criminal, in my opinion, criminal behavior behind the scenes, and the fraud that's been perpetuated, which is why it was so disappointing for those of us who knew about some of this stuff that the FBI investigation was closed prematurely. The Davis County Attorney investigation was closed prematurely because there's so much more. And some of the stuff that's coming out is coming from witnesses that weren't part of that original investigation, as I understand. So there's new information. And that's coming out in shortly, that's leading to these allegations. And it's very, very, very serious stuff. So, we want to get this out to you as soon as possible. We don't have time, to dissect all this and tell you all the ins and outs of what's happening behind this. But but this is a game changer. This is a turning point. Also, because there is another victory that just happened yesterday that you need to be aware of. And that is that there was a hearing, an evidentiary hearing for Celeste Boris's protective order in Salt Lake yesterday. And the first protection order that she saw, she's one of, just to recap, one of the women that have accused him of sexual assault over a year ago, September, and that came forward with those allegations. She had a original month or two ago protective order hearing, which was only like half an hour. The judge heard her case, heard Tim's case, and then ruled that that Celeste is credible and her story warrants a protective order. Her experience warrants a protective order and that Tim is dangerous. Now, that protective order was challenged and appealed by Tim and his lawyers. And then it went to, so it went up the appeals process to a higher court. That hearing was held yesterday. And because it went to a higher court, that hearing became an evidentiary hearing, meaning that both sides got ample time to present witnesses and evidence on their side of the court. So we had, I think it was 4 or 5 hours of testimony and arguments and cross-examinations, both sides for the first time presenting evidence for why Tim should be considered a predator, why he did what he did, and why he's a danger and a threat to not just Celeste, but really society by proxy, and everybody else that's associated with him. That evidentiary hearing went on, and it was a closed-door hearing, so I wasn't able to be in it. It was a closed-door hearing, but from what I understand, both sides presented a lot of evidence over 4+ hours, multiple witnesses, and the judge heard all the testimonies, looked at all the witnesses, and ruled that Celeste is a credible witness, that her story is credible and believable and is backed up by evidence, including the skirt with the DNA from Tim on it, even though that was not part of the evidence in there, but that there's enough evidence that exists and is in the possession of the Utah State Crime Lab, that Celeste's story is backed up by evidence. The testimonies back up what she's saying. She's a credible evidence. She's a credible witness. And Tim is a danger and a threat and needs to be restricted by this protective order and ruled in her favor. This is a huge win. This is a huge for the women in all of this and everybody that has been trying to put to light the crimes and the misdeeds and the accusations and allegations of Tim Ballard and OUR. So way to go, team, on that one. That's a huge win. And it really sets the stage for these legal proceedings going forward. Now, Tim has been, you know, taking victory laps on social media, saying that all these accusations, all these allegations and these are being thrown out of court. Judges are just throwing them out left and right. If you follow him on Instagram, he's always telling that, oh yeah, a lot of them are been thrown out and we expect the rest of them to be thrown out as well. Well, the ones that were dismissed was Suzanne Whitehead's complaint, which there wasn't enough evidence to support emotional distress or harm in her case. Not that the allegations were unfounded. They were very well founded and backed by evidence. However, there wasn't cause for damages to be paid in that way, according to that judge. So, that was dismissed, but she was not somebody that was sexually assaulted by Tim. Kira Lynch's protective order, her first one, was dismissed wrongfully so, in my opinion, because the judge said it was a he said, she said situation, and they didn't get to the evidentiary hearing on that one, unfortunately, is my understanding. Then Bree Ryder, who had her face caved in from a training accident, that was dismissed, her lawsuit, because she had signed a waiver, even though what happened was reckless and how they handled her injury was wrong and unethical. But the waiver protected OUR in that one. And then the Kelly Suarez case. Even though Kelly Suarez was not convicted of human trafficking, she is not a trafficker, and those charges were dropped. They got her pinned on pimping charges, accepting money for between consenting sex workers and clients, and sentenced to 20 years in prison for that one. So all of those, you know, as unfortunate as they are, they are wins for OUR and Tim. However, the sexual assault allegations from the women that were brought last September have not been heard in court. Those arguments have not been heard in court until yesterday. And they were heard in court yesterday, and a judge ruled in favor of Celeste Boris and her lawyers that she is credible. Her testimony is backed up by evidence, and Tim is a threat and needs to be restricted. So there's that's going on also. This is a pretty huge stuff. I can't express how, I mean, this really feels like a big turning point for the whole saga, because of both OUR running and the win in court after the evidentiary hearing. So yeah, big deals. I would hope that any of Tim's supporters at this point would really cause pause and check themselves. You know, they've been waiting for, we'll see how it plays out in court. Well, we just saw how the sexual assault allegations played out in court, and it didn't go in Tim's favor. So you probably ought to check yourself if you're still a supporter of Tim Ballard, because I think it's only going to get worse from here. Now, I knew about that, but then this press release about responding to OUR's announcement that it's getting out of Dodge is a really big deal also. I think it's evident that they are running from the law, that they are trying to avoid prosecution and investigation from a new attorney general, who I hope will take all these allegations seriously, because Tim and OUR has defrauded, in my opinion, hundreds of thousands of Utahns that support his cause. People that donated millions of dollars, all the way down to people that just bought a t-shirt and were social justice warriors on Facebook and social media, supporting him and his cause, advocating for the stop of human trafficking and the protection of kids. Those people that joined that, including myself, who I devoted 6 years of my life to upholding him and his cause and his religious message, as well as supporting his endeavors with anti-sex trafficking work, those are good people that wanted to do something good. And there should be no shame for supporting Tim and OUR until it became apparent that he wasn't what he claimed he was, and there was signs and red flags of fraud. When somebody sees that and they change their mind and they come forward and they're like, I don't think I should be supporting this guy or this organization, great. You know, you don't feel any shame for supporting him before that, for getting behind the cause. It was a good cause. You know, nobody wants to see kids hurt, including myself, including all of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. They joined OUR because they wanted to save kids. But when it became apparent that the funds were being misused, that he was self-aggrandizing, that he was seeking fame and money and putting those above people's safety and above rescues of the kids, then it started wandering into the territory of fraud. And now, as we see more and more people coming forward with what they know, it's running in the direction of fraud in big, big ways, including potential corruption of high level government officials in the Attorney General's office. And I see a question here. Can Utah State Attorney prosecute OUR in Minnesota? That is a good question. I don't know. I'm not a legal scholar. However, I do know that civil lawsuits can cross borders. You know, OUR can be tried in Utah even by running, but they will be out of the jurisdiction of the Utah Attorney General, I believe. But I don't know if there's a way for Utah law enforcement to reach them out there. That's a really good question. Yes, Diana says, get the word out in Minnesota. Yeah, please share on all your platforms. Yeah, the the organization's going to Minnesota, and people in Minnesota need to be aware that there is this organization that's going to be fundraising in their backyard, in their towns, in their communities as well. And it also just shows to me that they have completely abandoned any hope of recovering from this, of recovering both from a PR perspective and probably a fundraising perspective from this. And that's even without convictions in court yet, you know? So, I mean, if anything's an indication of a guilty organization, I think that one should be considered. You know, I don't know. I'm not on the inside of OUR. I don't know people on the inside of OUR currently. But yeah, I think it also comes on the heels of the federal lawsuit, which was, what, a week ago, filed in federal court, that was filed under the Trafficking Victims Reauthorization Act, which clears the legal pathway for trafficking victims to seek damages, not only from the person that trafficked them, but anybody that benefited from being trafficked. And what's like great about that legislation and that act is that it doesn't matter where the OUR runs. If they're in the jurisdiction of the United States, that act can now apply to them. They can be sought after for damages no matter what state they are in, because it's a federal, it's now being seen and heard at the federal level. So, wow, this is big stuff. That dropped a week ago. The win for the women in the court just happened yesterday. I'm waiting on the press release for the details on that. I think that there will be probably multiple news outlets that cover this in the next 24 hours. And so we should expect the press release on that with some more details on the win in court yesterday. But yeah, this is big stuff. Kara is remoting in. She doesn't have a great internet connection where she's at camping through her phone. So hi Kara, we see you in the chat. Thanks for joining in. She'd be here live if she had a good internet connection at the moment. But anyways, we didn't want to wait till to get this information out. You know, we want to get you informed and up to date on what's happening, when it's happening, as soon as possible. So that's where we're at. Yeah, there's a lot of great comments in here. Shannon Peterson, I used to be an apologist. I'm so used to apologists interpreting everything in Tim's favor. I assumed the comments about winning were largely from Tim's supporters. Yeah, and they're largely from people that cognitive dissonance comes to mind. I don't mean that in an insulting way, but you have to take into consideration that everybody that's accusing him of wrongdoing are people that were loyal friends of him, myself included, that were passionate believers in the anti-sex trafficking movement, that wanted to save kids, that donated their time and their money and big portions of their lives to getting behind his message and stuff. And unless you were there when it happened, then you don't know the kind of things that he did and said and the ways that he groomed people. So that's why it's so shocking to me that there's so many people that turn a blind eye to all the evidence, don't believe the victims and the people that are coming forward, and only believe Tim's versions of events, only believe Tim's version of the story. And they have him elevated as hero status, as like a prophet-like figure in their own mind, as a righteous crusader for morality and sexuality and justice. And once that switch is flipped in their mind, they can't even fathom that anything like trafficking, that he'd be guilty of trafficking, of sexual assault, of kidnapping, of forced abortions, and covering up the abuse of children. I mean, Tim is on this spectrum of he's expected to be like the righteous crusader for all these things, and now he's being alleged of doing the very things he was claiming to protect against. And because that is like such a 180 and he's so far on the other side, they're like, there's no way that could be true. There's absolutely no way that could be true. And had I not witnessed his personality disorder personally and how he would flip from Tim Ballard, you know, the righteous LDS, faith promoting, righteous crusader, to Brian Black, his undercover persona, this sleazy, skeezy, despicable, angry person. I've seen him switch like within a matter of a second like that, and many other people have. And so it leads me to wonder, and others, which is the real Tim Ballard? You know, is it Brian Black or is it Tim Ballard, the Deseret Book author? And what's become more and more apparent as he's risen in fame and risen in prominence and has all these accolades and support from powerful people, that he's become this dual personality. And the Brian Black seems to be have taken over the righteous crusader of Tim Ballard. That's what it looks like. So thanks, Jenny Brown, for the donations. Me and Kara are just funding this with our own time and our own efforts. And even $5 helps a lot. You know, this has been a crusade for ours. And anybody joining in the super chats and giving us a little bit of money to keep this podcast going goes a long ways. So yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah, I wish Kara could be here to weigh in. She's probably steaming and pretty angry at that, but we'll talk about this a lot more going forward. I'm going to read some of these comments since I don't have anybody else to talk to. With White Salamander, M. Russell Ballard would be right at home in this shitstorm if he was still alive. Yeah, that's a good question. He raises the question, what role does the church have to play in here? Now, I've been trying to give the church a pass because everybody that supported Tim in one way or another is a victim. And it's a very unclear gray line on whether you are a victim or an accomplice. You know, when does that transition make? And that transition happens somewhere in the middle, where you go from not knowing anything to I know stuff that's not good, and are you willing to step forward and stop it? And so I can't say whether M. Russell Ballard is a victim or an accomplice. I can't say definitively whether Glenn Beck is a victim or an accomplice. I can't say definitively whether Sean Reyes is a victim or an accomplice. And I can say that the truth may lie in both realities. Two things can be true at once. The question is, what are you going to do about what you know when you know it, though? And so far, those people, you know, Glenn Beck has made a couple of small steps towards denouncing Tim. Sean Reyes has made a couple of steps towards denouncing him. The church made one step in denouncing him. And however, they didn't keep going to try and repair the damage. They didn't keep walking towards that path to try and advocate and support the victims. And what I would like to see come from the LDS church, what is apparently, in my mind, the obvious right thing to do, is to encourage those that have information about the victims and what they've endured to come forward. If the church would do that on their own and come forward with what they know, because they issued a statement saying, hey, this guy, Tim, has done morally unacceptable things. Well, what were those things? What do they know? What information can they provide? But for the last year, they've remained completely silent. They've refused to talk to reporters. They've refused interviews. They refused comment. And that is really concerning because it looks like a cover-up. They obviously know something. They don't know. They haven't outed what is morally unacceptable behavior was, and they haven't come forward and in support of the victims in any way. So where do they land on this spectrum between victims and accomplices? You know, I don't know. That's a question. Same with Glenn Beck and Tony Robbins and Yeah. Where do they land on this spectrum of victims, accomplices? You know, they've taken small steps towards distancing themselves from Tim. However, who is coming forward in support of these victims to back up their story, back up their claims, and to support and advocate for the truth? You know, I'm still waiting for those men to step forward and do what's right. I'm still waiting for the church to come forward and do what's right. And there's a lot of people that I know are witnesses to these things and then know a lot that are afraid to come forward because they don't want to be seen as anti-Mormon or as doing anything to tarnish the reputation of the LDS church. And I understand that. However, what's going to happen is if all of these allegations are true and it comes out that they are true and these men and these organizations knew about it and did nothing, in fact, covered it up potentially, that is going to destroy the reputations of everybody that's involved that didn't have the backbone to do what's right and come forward with the information that they knew. Because in that situation, if that's how it goes down, then they are siding with the perpetrator, protecting the perpetrator at the expense of the victims. And yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. And we can't go down that path. Please don't go down that path. If you know something, come forward. And there's lots of ways to do that. You don't have to come forward to the lawyers that are representing the women. You can issue a statement publicly. You can get your own attorney to take a anonymous complaint, file it with the Utah Ethics Board, something along those lines, put it in the public record somehow, and then and get your testimony out there. So yeah, there's a lot of things that can be done if you're willing to stand up and do what's right. And I hope more people with this information are willing to do that. So yeah, there's a lot going on. Got a super chat. Thanks, Ryan Kerr. You're doing amazing work. I hope so. I really feel like this should have been done by the mainstream media outlets in Utah. And the sad reality is they have devoted very, very little resources towards covering this whole subject. And as I worked for Fox 13 News in Salt Lake City, so I understand that there's a fine line between reporting negative news about Mormon celebrities without appearing as anti-Mormon. You know, I'm trying to walk that line also, like, which this whole thing is not about being anti-Mormon, but it is about exposing the truth and holding those responsible accountable. And because there is a lot of demographics that are LDS, how you present the story can really anger your audience, especially if you're somebody like KSL or Deseret Book or any of the church-owned media outlets. You know, that's a tricky position. However, I would hope that ethical journalism would still prevail over self-interest, self-business interests. Sadly, though, since my testimony came out about Elder Ballard's involvement in all of this, I didn't receive a single media inquiry for interview from anybody inside Utah. They did not want to go down the path of exploring the relationship between the church and Tim Ballard, between M. Russell Ballard and Tim Ballard. And that to me was shocking and unacceptable. I expected more from Utah media. Not that I want to be in the press for any of this. This is not what I want to be known for as somebody that is fighting against Tim Ballard. But I do feel a responsibility because I platformed him and I helped make him a celebrity in my TV show. So I feel some responsibility there, especially after he's hurt people that I know and care about. So I would expect the Utah media to do better than they have been. And I hope that that will be the case, because honest reporting, factual reporting, investigative journalism into this, I don't know why every Utah media outlet doesn't have a team devoted to uncovering the truth in all of this. Because if all these allegations are true, oh my gosh, this is the biggest scandal to hit Utah that I can remember in my lifetime, that to hit the Mormon faith, to hit Utah, because everybody was involved in it. Just about everybody was involved in it locally for the last 10 years. And a lot of powerful people, a lot of influential people, a lot of LDS royalty and church officials. I was in many meetings with general authorities that supported and got behind this cause. And if Tim really did take all of that devotion and support, and then used it to hire prostitutes for his own gratification, for covering up sexual abuse of minors that were in OUR's care, for kidnapping kids, and for trafficking women across, you know, that signed up to be his executive assistant or work for Tim or join the couple's ruse, were trafficked for work and sex. If any of one of those are true, even partially true, then man, Utah has built up a really vile, sick predator, and we need to do something about it. We need to clean up this mess that we created. And it's not just Utah, but you know, this is where he got his start. This is where he got all of his power and clout from the endorsements here in Utah. So yeah, big deal. Man, we got a lot of people tuning in to the conversation. Yeah, Katie Marie says, I am not shocked by this info. You just need to know where to look. I told my entire LDS family about the shadiness of all of it, just from having a past where I was abused. It's easy to spot when you know. Yeah, that's one of the things is you don't know what you don't know. And OUR, in my opinion, was a cult and ran like a cult with a cult leader. And nobody that's in a cult knows they're in a cult at the time. I didn't know I was in a cult at the time. I didn't know I was being manipulated and used until years later, when it was apparent that, yeah, I was being manipulated and used for access to putting Tim on my TV show. And as soon as that went away, you know, I was cast aside. Just like everybody else that I saw. But when it was happening to everybody else, I'm like, no, he'd never do that to me. You know, I have this image in my mind that he's moral and right and ethical and a good person, hero status, doing good things, led by the Spirit, you know, prayerful. And so when I saw him do things that were the opposite of that, that were huge red flags, you know, I switched on that cognitive dissonance and be like, nah, no, he's still a good guy. He maybe just doesn't understand, or is misguided, or reactionary, or just has a temper, things like that. But it wasn't until lots of people came forward, similar stories, that I was able to deconstruct and realize, oh my gosh, I was being used and manipulated in the same way everybody else was, and then thrown out into the garbage heap, just like everybody else, as soon as he's done with getting what he wants from you. So, yeah, the people that are supporting him now, they are going to go through that process sooner or later too. You know, like Matt Cooper, you don't think Tim's going to turn on you? He will eventually. You know, he doesn't have your back. He looks out for his number one. And yeah. So Kara says she put the Haiti info as the title, if you want to recap that, and other news real quick for people just tuning in. Sure. Yeah. So the Haiti info, this is the bombshell that I didn't expect to come out of this. And that's that, you know, the OUR moving to Minneapolis is big, but the bigger allegations is this, that over the years, OUR has raised over hundreds of millions of dollars from Utah citizens who believe they were contributing to legitimate anti-trafficking work. Instead, that money was largely gone to cover up deeply troubling operations in countries like Haiti, where allegations of forced rape and abortions of 13-year-old girls funded by OUR have surfaced. Yeah, that's the bombshell revelation, if you're just tuning in. And it's something that Kara and I have been aware of, and people have been talking about behind the scenes for some time. And I knew that was going to come out at some point. I didn't expect it today. I didn't know this was going to be discussed and put out there today, because those are criminal allegations. The tricky part to that is those allegations are about things that happened in Haiti. And I'm not going to talk about any of the details that I'm aware of, but because they happened in Haiti and the OUR is a U.S. organization, I don't know what the legal ramifications of that are, whether OUR and the people that were involved in that alleged cover-up of a rape and abortions of 13-year-old girls, if there's a way, if there's a nexus for those people to be prosecuted, under what laws and what crimes that would be, I don't know. But there are very serious allegations there. So if you're just turning in, you can go ahead and read this whole press release. It talks about quite a few different allegations, including the cover-up of rapes, abortions, kidnapping, and child endangerment, all while raking in millions in donations, claiming blessings from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Yeah, these are big, 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 bold claims that are just surfacing right now. And we haven't even gotten into the discovery side of the women's cases, in which the witnesses can be put on the stand and cross-examined and testify to what they know. So if all this stuff is coming out right now, I just can't imagine what kind of stuff is going to come out when these trials go to trial, when these allegations go to trial and are presented in a court of law in Utah. So yeah, there's a lot there, a lot to unpack. Yeah, Latter-day Digest, do what is right, let the consequences follow. Yeah, I hear you, man. I hope that happens. I hope that officials within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will do what's right, and try and undo the harm that's been done by Deseret Book's number one author, by Tim Ballard, who had the endorsement and of Elder Ballard and the entire church, and went on fireside speaking tours up and down, you know, the Mormon corridor of Idaho, Utah, Arizona, as well as around the United States and the world. Yeah, he had more support from the LDS community than I've seen come to anybody in my lifetime that wasn't an official general authority. So yeah, that's just where we're at today. And we need to do what's right, clean up this mess, get the truth out there, encourage everybody that knows anything to come forward with what they know, and obviously support those victims. If the victims have endured what they claim they have endured at his hands, the abuse, and I believe they have, then we need to do everything we can to support them, encourage others to come forward. And if Tim is a predator that he's alleged to be, then he needs to go to jail, and we need to clean up this mess and put him and anybody that supported him behind bars. I mean, supported him in a way that was a cover-up, that tried to cover up his abuse and his crimes, and were accomplices in those crimes as well. You know, that's what's at stake here. So is that Sean Reyes? I don't know, but a lot of people think so. Is that other people in his inner circle? I don't know, but it's going to come out one way or another. So where you stand right now could determine whether you stay in or out of jail. Honestly, that's what's at stake, because these allegations are all very, very criminal. And thanks to the trafficking Victims Reauthorization Act, Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. If you profited from the trafficking of women or kids that Tim did, and thought you were immune from being held accountable for damages from that, that's now you know you're not. If you profited from Tim's illegal activity, then you're liable for damages from that as well. So this is all very, very serious stuff. I would hope that that people who are on the fence within OUR or associates with him will do what's right, come forward with what they know, I know it's scary and it takes a lot of courage to come forward. And yeah, you might not have anything to gain. It might be have a lot to lose, you know, social status, standing in the church, reputation, you know, feel guilty for not coming forward earlier. All of those stuff, all that stuff, I totally understand. Everybody understands. The victims understand. It was hard for them to come forward as well. But if they can do it, so can you. So yeah, consider that. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I think we got out there the information that we needed on a timely basis. We're obviously going to be talking about this in the coming days and weeks in more detail as more comes out and more details come across our desk, and we'll present those to you. Thank you for everybody that has supported this podcast, has liked and subscribed and contributed on Patreon to keeping this afloat. That's all we're trying to do at this point, is keep this afloat. And so we really appreciate all the donations and support, and everybody that's sharing this, please share this, because there's 100 million people that saw the Sound of Freedom movie. And so we got our work cut out for us in letting those people know what really happened. And so please share this wherever you can. Tell your friends and family, share the podcast, or just share the press release. I think Kara, we'll have Kara put it up in our Patreon, or a link to it probably in the bio of this video. And share that. Start a conversation in your own social circles. OUR and Tim Ballard was built up because of people using their own voice and their own social circles to spread his message and get behind his cause. And that rocketed him to total superstar status, to where a major Hollywood movie was made about him. So don't think that you don't have power in righting this ship, in undoing the hurt and the tragedy and everything else. Those of us that put him on a pedestal and put wind in his sails can now take it out of his sails and do the opposite and deplatform him and get the truth out there, help undo the harm, and also become more educated and aware so that frauds like Tim Ballard don't resurface in our society and culture in the future. So that's my hope. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk soon, and keep fighting the good fight. Thanks.